Today's daf is daf tzadi zayin. So the very top line says ketan mocheres. So the Gemara had been talking about if an almana had sold her karka, her property, she needed mizonos. So she's an almana, so which of course means her husband died. So the yesomim have a responsibility to feed the almana, to be in mizonos, to feed her. So let's say they're not feeding her. She needs more money, more mizonos. So she decides to sell one of the properties of the estate. So, because either way, even though the Yisomim have control of the estate, so if the Yisomim are not paying her, so then she's allowed to sell that property that's under their jurisdiction to get the food. So the Gemara wants to know, Ketan Mocheres, how exactly does this sale work when she sells the land? So Amar Rabbi Daniel bar Rav Kitina, Amar Rav Huna Mocheres Achash L'Shem Asar Chodesh, Lokech Miparnes Achash L'Shloshim Yom. So she could sell a property, one property for 12 months, for a full year, in order to, she sells a year at a time, but she only receives the food a month at a time. So she sells a property, let's say, for $1,200, she sells a piece of land, and that person who bought it gives her $100 each month. They don't give her everything in one lump sum. And Rav Yehuda Omer, Mocheres L'Shisha Chadashim, you sell it for 6 months at a time, she sells a property for $600, and she receives Lokeach Mefarnes Achash L'Shoshim Yom, and the purchaser pays her the $100 per month. So what's the reason for doing this? So Rashi explains, Valokeach, it's five narrow lines down. And Rashi, Valokeach, Lo yimser la kol hamos, the buyer doesn't give all the money in one lump sum. Ela demei mizonos shechodesh b'chodesh. He pays her 1 month at a time. Shim tinase yachzer mashe b'yado liyorshim. Because let's say she gets married 3 months in, so now the responsibility of paying her mizonos fall upon her new husband. The Yisomim are now absolved of paying her. So it's not fair that they're losing 6 months of payment if she was only 3 months. So you pay her 1 month at a time. If she, let's say, she has a 12-month contract with the purchaser, so 6 months in she gets married, the remaining 6 months goes back to the Yisomim. She does not have the right to collect before she's supposed to be receiving the mizonos. So it's Machlokes, Tanakama versus Rav Yehuda, whether she sells 1 year at a time or 6 months at a time. And the Gemara says, Tanaka Vase Rav Huna, there's the Braisa that supports Rav Huna, the first opinion, who says you sell 12 months at a time. What does the Braisa say? Mocheres l'shnei masar chodesh, you sell for 12 months at a time. Lokeach meparnes achas l'shloshim yom, and the purchaser supports her, feeds her once a month. Tani kvasid Rav Yehuda, there's another brayse that supports Rav Yehuda that says you sell 6 months at a time, which says mocheres l'shisha chadashim lokeach meparnes achas l'shloshim yom. How do we paskin? So Amar Meimar, Meimar says, Hilchas Mocheres L'Shisha Chadashim, Lokeach Mefarnes Achash L'Shoshim Yom. We pass in like Rav Yehuda that she sells 6 months at a time and she gets paid once a month. So Amar Rav Ashi L'Meimar, Rav Huna, Mai. So that of Rav Huna, what about him? Meaning, why don't we pass in like him? Rav Huna, Mai. So I think he's asking, why not like Rav Huna? Maybe in general we pass in like Rav Huna, is that the Shaila? Rav Huna over a Meimar? I'm not sure. Yeah, why not? The question is, what's the question? We have a machlokas all the time, and we paskin one way, so we don't really ask, why don't we paskin like the person we don't paskin like? Unless there's a klal, I don't know, Rashi and the Masifta is not telling me, is there a klal that we always paskin like Rav Huna over a Meimar, maybe? In this case, we want to know why we're paskin like a Meimar over Rav Huna. So either way, the response is, Amar Leh, Lo Shmili, I didn't hear this. Kolomar means, Lo Svirli, I don't hold a Rav Huna 12 months at a time, rather be passing like a Meimar, that it should be, you sell 6 months at a time. The Gemara now says, Ba'u Minei Mir Rav Sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes the following Shaila, Mocheres L'Mizonos. So let's say she sells property for the purpose of collecting Mizonos. Mahu Shetachzor V'Tzitrof L'Ksuva. Now she's owed a ksuba. When her husband dies, the estate has to pay the ksuba. So she hasn't yet collected the ksuba. So she sells property to collect the mizonos. Now there's a lien on that property that she's also supposed to collect the, yeah, let's say it this way. Her husband dies. There's a responsibility to collect her $200 of ksuba. There's a lien on the property. There's an additional obligation that the Yisom have to support her. Yisom are not doing a good job supporting, so she takes that land, which already has a lien of the ksuba, and she sells it to another party. And she starts, that money she gets supported from the mizonos. But now she wants to collect the ksuba, and the Yisom aren't paying her. Could she now go back to that property and says, that's my property from the ksuba standpoint, because I had a lien on that property from the ksuba? Could she go ahead and collect that from the very purchaser who she sold to in the first place for her getting the mizonos?
But isn't the band... No, she says it once every 6 months. there's a different value to every karka. And let's say the karka is valued a lot. So it's more than she needs.
No, they
What
says,
about...
right, so you probably, I don't know how it works exactly. It probably, you know, the value of land was much less than it is now. You probably sell a big property, acres of land, for a few hundred dollars back then. There was less demand, the more
no,
property
but
you go around.
It doesn't matter now, then.
No, so I'm saying, so they probably sold a nice chunk of land for 6 months of feeding her. I can't imagine, you know, you want to buy land in Woodmere, $600, it'll be nothing. You can't buy land for $600. It doesn't work like that. It would be that, if even. No one's going to buy that. So, but there, you know, back then, you could probably buy a nice chunk of land for what it would cost her. So you sold a piece of property to support her for 6 months.
I think David is asking, well, wouldn't the properties be sort of mapped out? And you sell, this is the property, and then it's worth $800. So what happens then? Why is she getting? Does she get the extra money?
Right. So I would guess that maybe it wasn't mapped out. Maybe they like carve out a $600 worth of cornfield and give it to the neighbor and sell it to the neighbor, assuming the neighbor wants to buy it. And it's probably not easy either. Who's going to want to buy a piece of land in the center of someone else's property if it's not a neighbor? Maybe the neighbor doesn't want to buy the cornfield. So practically, I'm not sure how that. It seems so easy to sell it off for the exact value. I agree. It does. But practically, maybe it's not so easy. But so the Gemara says, so that's the Shiloh again. So she sells this property that already has the lien for the collecting her ksuba, but she sells it anyways to collect her mizonos. Could she go ahead and now collect that very land that she just sold and say, wait a second, I've got a lien on it because I have a ksuba? Can you buy labor of Yosef? Damar of Yosef. Rav Yosef said, there's a question within the opinion of Rav Yosef. Damar of Yosef, Armolasa, that's Almana in Aramaic. In Almana, the Zavan Achrayos, that she sells a property with Achrayos. So let's see, the Achrayos is Ayosme. So Rashi says, Misi Rashi, Armolasa de Zavan, Shesadi Yisomim, Limizonos, Aluksuva, Vakabla, Ale Achrayos. So she sells a land, she takes one of the orphan's lands and sells it because she needs to collect her ksuba, she needs to collect the mizonos, and she says, listen, if it gets taken away from you from some other Baal Chov, the achrayos is upon me. And she sells it, and some other Baal Chov, a bank says, wait a second, the husband had owed us money 15 years ago, that's ours, takes away from the lekuchos. So who has the responsibility of reimbursing the lokach? So says Rashi, achrayos ayosme, achrayos alekuchos choz al yisomim sharei alein hayachov. The chov is really the yisomim. The yisomim is the one who inherited all the obligations of their father. So the yisomim have to go actually pay back the lekuchos, not the almana. Even though the almana is the one who sold it, the achrayos falls upon the yisomim. Furthermore, says the Gemara, going on with the opinion of Rav Yosef, beidina the zavan achrayos ayasme. A bezdin says, listen, you're not paying the almana. She needs food. We're going to sell that property. And they sell the property, and then some bank takes the property away from the lekuchos, so the lekuchos get reimbursed from the yisomim also. So yisomim are the ones who are always taking responsibility. So, my, what's the lacha here? Kevin d'achraus ayos mitarfe. Since the yisomim have the responsibility of reimbursing the lokach if it gets taken away, so she's allowed to take that property because it always falls, the yisomim are going to reimburse her. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps Matsi Amrila, where they could say to her, the lekuchos could say to her, who just bought the land from her for the mizonos, nihi d'achraus d'alma lo kablus alaich. Achraus d'nafshech mi lo kablu kablus, lo kablu, kablus. So I get the yisomim, I think, are saying to her, wait a second, they say to her,
the buyer
said this, yeah? The buyer said, okay, maybe you took upon yourself no achraus if somebody else took it from us, meaning the yisomim have to pay and reimburse us. But if you're the one who's taking it from us, you can't remove yourself from that responsibility. You're taking the property away that you sold to us. You have to reimburse us, or really, you shouldn't be able to go ahead and take it in the first place. So you have no ability to collect your ksuba from the land you just sold us. So that's the two tzadim. And the Gemara answers, Amar Lei, Tani Sua, they bring a brisa, Mocheres Voleches Ad Kedei Ksubasa. She could go ahead and sell until it's her ksuba, meaning she probably has to leave in the B'nai Chorin place an amount to be collected from the Yisomim, which sounds like she cannot collect from someone who she sold to. Right, you see Rashi? Rashi says, Mocheres v'holeches. She could continue to sell off the property in order to support her mizonos. Ad until the limit is shelo yoser karka liyorshin the ella yishir ksuvasa. She has to leave for the yisomim property of the amount of the ksuba. Meaning, if she sells everything, she would not be able to collect the ksuba from what she sold. She has to leave in the yisomim's possession where there's enough to collect from the ksuba that she's owed. That's the brisa. And the Gemara says, the samechla shetigba ksubasa meshar, and she's being samech on that leftover property in the possession of the yisomim to collect the ksuba. So shma mina shiara in lo shiara lo. Only if she left over shiara in, if she left over property in the yisomim, is she allowed to collect the ksuba. But if she doesn't leave over anything in the possession of the yisomim, she cannot collect the ksuba from the properties that she sold off. She cannot collect from them. Asks Gemara v'dilma eitzatova k'mashmalan. Lo likre la hadrinusa. Maybe she really can collect from the people she sold to. What the Bryce is telling us that she should leave over in the possession of the Yisomim, it's just a good advice, because if she didn't, and she's going to go ahead and collect the person she sold to, she's going to be called a Hadrunisa, a returner, or what they would call nowadays an Indian giver, who's someone who sells, like, gives something away and takes it right back. So she sold the property to somebody, now takes it away from them, she's going to have a bad name for herself. So as an Eta Tova for her, we say, best for you to leave some karka in the possession of the Yisomim, instead of having to take back from who you sold to.
Oh, she's taking it away.
Because she needs her ksuba. She needed mizonos. So she sold all the estates to this other party to get mizonos. Okay. But now she needs to collect her ksuba. So she can't collect from the someone because there's no karka left. So she goes to collect from this karka.
Isn't it to mizuba to all the property that the guy has?
Exactly. So no, there's a lien.
She only sold one karka.
She needed more mizonos. So she kept them selling and selling and selling, and
so
there's nothing left.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
So what she wants now?
So the question, that's the very question. Can she now go ahead and collect the karka? Because you just said there's a shibud on that karka. Before she sold it, her ksuba had a lien on that karka. Yeah. She sold it. The lien still exists. Is she allowed to go ahead and collect it? That's the shaila.
If she gave it all away and it's not worth anything, there's no more lien.
But there still is a lien. So that was the Gemara Suffolk. Maybe there is a lien, maybe there's not a lien. So that's part of the shaila. And the Gemara concludes.
Why to leave something for the Yatomim, if they didn't take care of the first place, now they'll take care of the ktuba. They didn't want to support it.
The property's there, and then after time, they're not paying her, so she just goes ahead and takes that karka for her ktuba.
She will leave something that's assuming that they will take care of her if she needs it.
No. They're hoping, but if she doesn't, she'll just take that karka in place of the ktuba.
The whole thing doesn't make sense.
Okay.
But then by taking it, she gets the whole thing. She doesn't have to wait. When she sold it, the guy's giving her, every month.
She needs.
Yeah, but whenever she leaves this over for the ksuba, then when that time comes to take that, it's just, okay, that's all mine right now.
Right.
There's no, installment
plan. And all the payrolls are going to be hers. So the Gemara says, Imkain, if you're telling me that it's simply an Eitz Tova to leave over some property in the hands of the Yisomim, Lisne Gova Ksuvasa Meshar. It should have written, and the ksuba should be collected from the leftover, the remainder in the possession of the yisomim. My samechla, what means samechla? It's a different language. So Gemara concludes, from the lashon of samechla, shma mina, shiara in lo sharia lo. Only if she left over in the possession of the yisomim can she collect her ksuba at all. But if she doesn't leave over anything, she may not. Gemara asks a different question now. Ibailu, zavin v'lo itzarchale zuzei. Hadruzine or lo hadruzine. Let's say she sells the property. Turns out she doesn't need the money. So look at Rashi. Rashi says around 15 narrow lines down. Zavin v'lo itzarech lei. So machar sedeu. She sells the property. Vani yodim shahaya chavetz likno sada ploni. O pragmatia plonis bosimos. We realize that she really didn't need the money. She was being supported just fine. She wanted to do a business deal. She wanted to buy a better property, or she wanted to do some business. We know the real truth. So what's halacha there? So the shaila is, do we say that the mechira is no longer mechira? It was a mekachtos, not mekachtos, but she doesn't have the right. She only has the rights to sell it for mizonos, but for other purposes she's not allowed to. Or do we say it's a good sale? Because in theory, she can sell property if she needs it, but she did not need it in this case. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya, Toshma. Tehu gavra de zavin ara le rapapa, de atzrichale zuze le mizban tura. So there's a particular man who sold his property to Rapapa because he needed money to buy an ox. What do you need an ox for? Does Rashi say? Rashi didn't need an ox to plow his property, let's say. So Lasof, Lo Yitzirchle, in the end, they didn't want to. Yeah, the people selling the shore didn't want to sell to him. So I bought property. I sold my land to David. So David gave me money. I wanted to use that money to buy a shore. In the end, the shore said, no, I don't want to sell to you anymore. Right, the mocher shore didn't want to sell. So what happened? Rapapa returned the sale. Because Rapapa was only selling, you know, he needed money, so he bought it just to give the guy some extra money. But once the money wasn't going to be used for sure, he was chozer. So what do we see from all of this? So here, in this case, the woman bought the land for the purpose initially for money, for mizonos. Turns out she didn't need it for the mizonos anymore. She needed it. She wanted to use it for something else. So the entire mekach should be undone. So you see that here too also, it should be undone like Rapapa's case. And the Gemara says, not true. Rapapa lefnim mishus adin hu David. Rapapa did lefnim mishus adin. You didn't have to. The sale was a good sale at the time of the purchase. So the Rapapa wanted to buy it. And he felt bad for the guy that he lost his property with the intention of using the money for something else. He felt bad. He did a very nice thing. But in general, not true. When she buys it, you know, when she sells the land initially for the mizonos, even though later on she doesn't need the mizonos anymore, the sale's a good sale, perhaps. So Gemara attempts to bring another raya. Tashma, deahu betzursa, tavi bin harda. There's a betzursa. What's a betzursa? So Rashi says yoker habab isharm pisum. That there suddenly the prices were skyrocketed in whatever food we're talking about.
Betzurit.
Right. So in America it's betzursa. So everything became very, very expensive in Naharda. Zavninu kuyama laftinayu. So Rashi says Avninu laftinayu luknos chitin. So everybody sold, all their property to buy wheat because wheat was so expensive. They had to sell their houses or their properties to get the wheat. Lasof asi chiti. In the end, chita came along. I guess chita started growing. It became more available, so the price went down. What?
Came from
some other city brought up plenty of achita, so they didn't need to sell the land, but they already sold their land. So Amar Lahu Rav Nachman, Dinahu Dehadri Aftinu Lemario. So it makes sense to return everything, to return back the properties, because they sold it because everything was expensive, but now they realize they didn't need to. So we see that if person sold to here, when the woman bought this, she sold the land initially for mizonos, since in the end she doesn't need the mizonos anymore, the entire sale should be null and void. So Gemara says, no, Hasim Nami Zvina Betos Hava. No, the case of the expensive wheat, there's a whole toast, there's a whole mistake there. The Glei Milsa, it became relevant afterwards, or apparent afterwards, the Arba Bakule Havakaima, that the ship carrying all the wheat, was there. They didn't know the ship was there, they know it was available, it was really available, and the things should have been, the prices shouldn't have been so high. It was there, they just didn't know it yet. So therefore, the sale of the wheat, was the market value was incorrect. It was being priced at a high point, but it really should be much lower, excuse me, because the wheat was available, they just didn't know about it just yet. Ihachi, that's the case. Hainu damarle, Rami bar Shmuel, Rav Nachman. This is exactly what Rami bar Shmuel said to Rav Nachman. What do you say? Imke nimtzeis machshil l'asad lavo. If that's the case, you're going to cause a big michshil l'asad lavo. Meaning what? What's the shaila here?
שכן, הקונים יחששו שהמוכר יבטל את המחירה על ידי טענה דומה. Meaning, you know, how can I sell, how can I buy it from them? Tomorrow you can come to me back and say, it was טעות.
So you can't ever say, If the price is a price, that's the sale you make. You can't say, tomorrow's price are going to change, and therefore what happened yesterday shouldn't have happened. A price is a price. So Amar Lei Atu Kol Yoma Betursa Shchichin. No, but this is a different case. It's a Betursa. The prices were skyrocketing like crazy. That's not a common scenario. So in general, a person sells something and things go up and down within the realm of normalcy. But here, this was wild. So Amar Lei in Betursa Ben Harda Mishach Shchichin. No, in Harda was a place that was pretty common to have this situation happen, and therefore Hilchas Zavin Vlo Itzterach Lizuzei Hadri Zvinu. So, but in general, person sells the property, when it comes to a almana, when she sells her property, and in the end turns out she doesn't need the money anymore, then the entire sale is not going to be a good sale. Okay, but it sounds like that's only by a case of almana. But when it comes to a regular sale, if it's something that's in the realm of normalcy, So then the sale, even though prices the next day might change differently, then it's going to be a good sale. Only by the case of almana, or a situation where it was completely unexpected, can you say it's not a good sale. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says, almana bein min ha'arusin bein min ha'arusin. If she's a widow, whether she's a widow from marriage or from engagement only, her husband or chasan dies, mocheres shelo bebezdin. She has the right to sell outside of Bezdin. So Rashi says it's a situation, bein min erusin, she'ein la mezonos. If she has no mezonos, so she could be mocheres l'ksuva. She could sell her ksuva. Bein min anasuin, she'ein mocheres l'mezonos, mocheres lo bevezdin. She's allowed to sell the property, even outside of Bezdin, to get mezonos. Rabbi Shimon omer, min anasuin mocheres lo bevezdin, min erusin lo timchor elo bevezdin. Bepnei she'ein la mezonos, bechol she'ein la mezonos, lo timchor elo bevezdin. So he says, when it comes to anasuin, she's allowed to sell outside of Bezdin, but when it comes to Alman of Menarison, she can only sell in Bezdin because she has no rights to Mezonos. She has no rights to Mezonos. And anybody who has no rights to Mezonos can only sell within Bezdin. So what's going on here?
She has right to the but not to the Mezonos.
Exactly. Erison, she doesn't get Mezonos just yet.
She didn't earn it yet.
Exactly, she didn't earn it. She did not earn it until she gets married. One second here. Okay. The Gemara now says in the bottom, Bishlam minat nesuin mishim mizone. So I understand, but according to the Chachamim, who says that from nesuin, they allowed her to sell outside of Bezdin because she needs mizonos. We're not going to make her sit there and fast. Element Eris in my time. According to the Tanakhama, why did Bezdin, what was the urgency? So again, when she's married, she's supposed to be supported from her husband. Her husband dies, she needs mezonos. It's pretty urgent. Sell. No need to wait for Bezdin to convene. But when it comes to Erison, what's the urgency? She's being supported by her father. So my taima, says Rashi, just to explain the question further, Elamina Erison, my taima, lo at shechur rabbanan le Bezdin. Why didn't the rabbanan, why didn't the Tanakhama force her to go to Bezdin to sell her the property? Kechol shar motzi shachol, like anybody else who wants to collect their debts, go to Bezdin. What's the urgency when it comes to almana min ha'erusin? So Amar Ula Umal explains Mishim China. We saw this phrase a number of times, Mishim China. Rashi explains two lines down, Mishim China. Sheyuhu ba'alein l'chein b'ineyem v'leimanu ha'nashim milin asay la'nashim. That she should have chein in the eyes of the men to be able to marry her. So that she has the ability to... The fact that she, I guess, has she's not going from house to house looking for money. She has food to eat. She's put together. That's going to make her more attractive in the eyes of the men. So therefore, we find that to be urgent as well, and allow her to sell. Even though she's an almana min ha'erusin, she is allowed to sell the property because of chayim. So again, that's according to Ula and Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lefi Shein Adam Rota Shetizbaza Isha Bebezdin. A person doesn't want his wife to be disgraced by going to Bezdin. To go to Bezdin is not a not an honorable thing, to be sitting in front of the dayanim and having to answer questions and talk about situations. So a husband, even Mina Erison, wouldn't want his wife to be disgraced, even though he's dead, wouldn't want his wife to be disgraced by going to Bezdin. So my benai, what's the difference between Mishim China or Mishim Shelo Tizbaze?
But she does go to the Bezdin in Erison.
No, according to Tanakhama right now. Rabbi Shimon, yes. Tanakhama felt that she never goes to Bezdin. So Gemara says, I understand why by Nisuin she doesn't go to Bezdin, because she needs the money. She needs to be supported. Her husband, who was supporting her from Nisuin, is now dead. But from Erisin, she wasn't being supported from her husband yet. So why does she have to? Why is she allowed to sell her ksuba without going to Bezdin? What's the urgency? Go to Bezdin like any other Starchov. The urgency is we want her to have the Schein to be remarried, or we don't want her to be going to Bezdin because it's a disgrace for her to go to Bezdin. So my benai, what's the nafkamina between these two different reasons? So, the difference is grusha. If she was divorced from the husband and she needed to be supported from gerushin from grusha from erushin rather, so Bezdin, who instituted chayin? Bezdin instituted chayin. We want her to still get remarried, so she shouldn't have to go to Bezdin. There should be a quick sale. But if it's leman damar lefishen adam rotsa tishpaza isha bebezdin, if it's because a husband wouldn't want his wife to be disgraced by going to Bezdin, well, the case of grusha lo chvasle, they got divorced. He doesn't really care much about her. So therefore, let her be disgraced. So from that perspective, she would and should go to Bezdin to sell the property. The Gemara now says, Tanan, quote from the Mishnah, the grusha lo timkor el bebezdin. The Mishnah tells us, where's this Mishnah? The Mishnah, oh, later on this very page. Okay, later, coming up. The Mishnah is going to tell us that a Grusha has to sell the property in Bezim. So why is that the case? Like we just said, if you think the reason why in general a woman shouldn't sell the property in Beis Din is because we don't want her to be disgraced, but if she's divorced, let her be disgraced. So that supports the Mishnah, which allows a Grusha to sell in Beis Din, has to go to Beis Din. It supports the reasoning of Shlo Tisbas be Beis Din. But Ella Leman Damer Mishum Chin, if it's because of Chin, and it's because the Chachamim want her to have the Chin to be able to get remarried, so Grusha Nami Boy Chin. Divorce, she also requires Chin. She also deserves to get married just like any other woman does. So she shouldn't have to go to Beis Din. She should be able to sell the property right away and collect her ksuba. Hamani Rabbi Shimon, who authored this Mishnah that's coming up? It must be Rabbi Shimon who authored the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon explicitly says that an Amana Mina Erison has to sell to Beis Din. So just like an Amana has to sell in Beis Din, certainly a Grusha would have to sell in Beis Din. That's according to Rabbi Shimon. Our whole discussion we're trying to figure out within the opinion of the Chachamim, so there's no raya from the Mishnah later on in the... But the Gemara says, wait a second, if Rabbi Shimon taught this Mishnah that's about to come up, The Reisha says what? Right, the Reisha says, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says, from the Erison case, you do not sell in Beis Din. The Erison don't sell at all? Which line of it? Is this the Mishnah coming up that's quoting?
No, the Reisha. Shnuya ba Mishnah kodemet be'amud Alef.
Min Erison lo Timkuru.
Et nichse ba'ala. Ela be'bed din. Why to begin with? Why to bring the case of Grusha? Grusha, you know, the Mishnah was speaking about Almana. He died. Now, so. Rabbi Shimon says that Almana min Hayerusin needs Beis Din. And here is Grusha.
Also,
obviously, but.
That's the Gemara's question, exactly. The Gemara says, if Rabbi Shimon, who authored the statement about the Grusha, that a Grusha needs to sell in Beis Din? If you're telling me it's Rabbi Shimon, your question, Rabbi Shimon says by Almana min Hayerusin requires Beis Din, Kal Vachomer, a Grusha requires Beis Din. So Rabbi Shimon couldn't have authored this Mishnah that's coming up, that a Grusha requires Beis Din. It must therefore be the Chachamim who wrote that. And we see here that the Chachamim think that a Grusha does have to sell in Beis Din. And whereas it's not true. Mal de Seima, what would you have thought? Almana min Erison hu delo nafish chen dida. From Erison, Almana from Erison, there's not a lot of chen. What does that mean? She doesn't require. Rashi says, five narrow lines down. There was not the chibas bia just yet, and it won't be evil or bad in the eyes of women if she has to go through this tircha. Meaning, it's not going to be so difficult for a woman to go to Beis Din. It's not going to break her. She's not going to be so desperate to get married. She hasn't been married yet. She's been engaged, but hasn't been married. So it's not going to break her mentality, her emotionally. She'll be able to handle going through Beis Din and still have that chayin. Aval, Grusha denafish chayin, adida, where, but a Grusha who went through a lot and her chayin will be affected, which is an interesting way of just talking about emotionally, she's going to be very much affected. Ema tibay chayin, she needs chayin more so, the Grusha, what she went through. And therefore, maybe she should be allowed to sell outside of Beis Din because it's more urgent for her to, you know, end this chapter of her life and collect her ksuba. That might be more of an urgency. And maybe here, Rabbi Shimon would agree that a Grusha should be able to sell outside of Beis Din. So therefore, see, it can be Rabbi Shimon, even though it seemed to be a Kal V'chomer, that if by a monument, Erison requires Beis Din, certainly a Grusha, we just said a Svara that maybe it's not so clear. Maybe there's a habit to think that a Grusha should sell outside Beis Din, Kamashma or not.
Here is alive, here is dead.
It's
different
inyanim. Certainly different inyanim. Very different inyanim.
What?
Very different inyanim.
And Grusha, he hates her. He doesn't want to pay her, so she needs to go to Beit Din.
Right, but from her perspective, going through a divorce is harder. Since again, obviously, every situation is different. But in many respects, going through a divorce, especially a challenging one, could be a lot more taking a lot more of a toll than on a death. So then the Gemara says, "Honami Tanina." This is also Mishnah. Kol she'ein la mezonos. Anyone who doesn't have mezonos. So what's the whole Mishnah here? What's the statement here? This is all Rabbi Shimon still.
Yeah.
So, this was not in the Mishnah we just saw yet. This must be in a later Mishnah. Oh, no, it is. All right, the last line of the Mishnah we just read. Kol she'ein la mezonos lo timcha el bebezdin. So it's an extra line that Rabbi Shimon adds. What does it mean? Anyone who doesn't have mezonos sells in bezdin. So what's the extra line telling us?
What is the extra line?
Kol she'ein la mezonos lo timcha el bebezdin.
What's the extra line?
That's extra. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon said, Almana mina nisuin could sell outside of Bezin. Almana mina erisin sells only in Bezin. Then he says, a klal, the whole she'en lo mezonos, timchor lo timchor el bebezin. What's that line tell? Which case is it referring to? So, lasuye mai, what's it coming to include? Lav lasuye grusha. Is it not coming to include grusha that a grusha has to sell within Bezin? So, you see here, Rabbi Shimon himself making this statement says that you have to sell in Bezin. Gemara says, lo. Lasuy migureshes veinu migureshes, referring to a woman who is kind of in divorce, kind of not divorced. Kidi Rabbi Zera, Tami Rabbi Zera, kol makom she'amru migureshes veinu migureshes bal chay b'mizonos seha. Whenever the situation was a suffix, whether the grushin was chal, so then the husband's still responsible for paying for the mizonos until there's a clean get given. Rashi doesn't give the example here. I'm trying to see. Of what's a gerushin veinu migureshes. But one case is a classic example the Mishnah talks about in the Gemara in a few places talks about. Let's say he throws her a get. And the get is between him and her, halfway through. Suffolk, whether or not, if it's closer to her, so it's a gerushin. If it's closer to him, it's not a gerushin. But let's say it's mamish right in the center, it's machlokas, whether or not it's a gerushin, that's the case of migureshes veinu migureshes, in which case Rabbi Zera holds, the husband would be responsible for paying the mizonos. So that's what Rabbi Shimon was talking about when it says v'chol she'ein l'mezonos. Sorry, v'chol was a line. V'chol she'ein l'mezonos elo timcha el bebezdin. Anybody who's supposed to be receiving mezonos is not receiving it can sell the property in bezdin, only in bezdin. That's talking about megreshes v'ein megreshes. So that's not a repeated mishnah. And the mishnah now in Amud Beis, which we didn't see yet inside the mishnah, when it talks about a grusha, that's when a mamash a grusha, she too could only sell in bezdin itself. Gemara now says brings another brisa here. Toshma. So again, we're trying to still figure out, I believe, what Gemara is going on. We're trying to figure out what's the reason behind within the Tanakama again. Tanakama thinks an almana mina erusin could sell outside of Bezdin. Why? Is it because of chayin or because shlo tisbazel bebezdin? And the nafkamina was a grusha. If she's divorced, so the husband doesn't mind if she's disgraced, let her go to Bezdin. But if it's mishim chayin, we want her to have chayin to be able to get remarried, then she could sell it outside of Bezdin. So Gemara brings another raya, Toshma. Kishem shemo cheres shelo bebezdin, kach yosher yosher, ksuvasa ksuvasa. Mochen shelo bebezdin. So just like she sells outside of Bezdin, so to her yorshin of the ksuba could sell outside of Bezdin. Okay. So bishmal man damar lefishen adam rota shitizbaza isha bebezdin ki echad ihilo nichalet hisvaza yorshin amin lo nichalet lizvei. To just like the husband himself wouldn't want his wife to be disgraced to go through the process of Bezdin, so too, he wouldn't want her Yorushin either to go through this process. It's not very pleasant. But if it's because of the Chachamim wanting her to have this chain and stay strong and be able to get remarried, so okay, her herself, she shouldn't have to go through Bezdin and just have a quick end of this chapter. But the Yorshin, what chayin is there for the Yorshin? There are most likely going to be the men who are going to be collecting her Yerusha. The men always get first for the Yerusha. So what chayin is there by the Yersheha? So clearly from this, the fact that even the Yorshim of her don't have to go to Bezdin tells us it's about Shlot Hisbaza BeBezdin. So Gemara says, Targuma Ula explained, Kigon She Yorashsa Bito Achosa. No, it's talking about where her Yorshin are actually ladies themselves. You're right, if it was men, they're boys who are inheriting their mother or whoever it might be, a brother or sister. So then, if it's boys, then there's no concern of chen, you're right. But if it's a daughter or a sister who are going to be the inheritors, there's chen there as well. To end that chapter, to have to go through the process of bezdin is very time-consuming, it's very stressful, and one could lose their chen and be challenging for getting remarried.
So because of the ladies, the men are included too? In that,
good question. So what if we know if it's only men who are inheriting it? So then would you say go to bezdin or not? I'm not sure. It sounds like from Ula, it's only when there are ladies. But if there are men, then they would have to go to bezdin. That's what it sounds like to me.
Based on Tanakama.
What do you mean?
He said, he didn't mention, he didn't say because of ladies or men. Just mina Yerushin. Or mina...
No, you're right. No, the Tanakhama is only referring to her herself, the Almana. The Tanakhama never addressed, let's say she dies and never collects it. Now her Yorushin, what's the story with them? That wasn't addressed by the Tanakhama. But what they would say, there's a nafkamina, meaning the all we know from the Tanakhama is that mina erisin, they don't have to go to Bezdin. Why not? If it's because of Chayin or is it because Shalot is a baza bebezdin? Those are two reasons. And the Gemara already presented two different nafkaminas. Nafkamina one was a grusha. If it's mishim chen, so a grusha also deserves chen. She should have a quick process. If it's mishim tzlot hisbaza, let her be disgraced. She should have to go to bezdin. Nafkamina two, now the Gemara is bringing...
Even tzlot hisbaza, only one party wants her to be hisbaza, which is the husband. The bedin doesn't want her to be hisbaza because she needs to get remarried in the future.
Yeah, but it's a good question. So you're saying, in essence, Shlotis Baze, but are you concerned with the... What about the other Svar? What about the other Svar of Mishim Chayin? So that's a good question. So what would Shlotis Baze Svar do with the Lashon of the... Either they're going to say, we don't hold the Chayin issue. Hard to say, because the Gemara keeps invoking that Svar. It's a very good question. Why not? It's funny, because Gemara does ask those questions sometimes. The Gemara says, okay, just because Shlotis Baze isn't relevant, but isn't it relevant from the Mishim Chayin? It's a very good shaila. I'll look in the back, see if anyone addresses this. I'm not seeing anything here. But there happens to be some other interesting points back here. The Rasha wants to know, does the issue of Chayin apply to a Zakena? She's older. She's, you know, she's not necessarily getting remarried.
Which makes sense.
Right, so...
What about Zakena?
So the Rasha had such a Shaila. If a woman's so old, she's not, you know, able to get remarried, does the same halacha apply? And he answers... That,
yes, because her chayin, it's a tircha. Now she needs to deserve respect because she's old already. So it's like a chayin.
Right, he quotes here that she should get remarried because she also wants to be, doesn't want to be lonely. Even though she's older, it's too, there's such a chayin by an elder lady as well. Okay, interesting discussions back here. But nothing to your point, though. Not that I'm seeing, at least. Okay, let's go a little further. The Gemara now says, the new Mishnah tells us, continuing on the same conversation, Macha Ksuvasa o Miksasa, if she sells the Ksuva, either all or part of, or Mashkina Ksuvasa o Miksasa, or she gives over the Ksuva as a Mashkon, as a form of collateral, either all or part of it, or Nasa Ksuvasa L'Acher o Miksasa, or she gives away part of the ksuba or all of it. Lo timkor es hashar el bebezdin. She can only sell the remaining part in the bezdin.
But it says in every case ktuvata o miktzata, ktuvata o miktzata, o miktzata. So what is hashar?
I mean, we're talking about. So let's say she collects her ksuva from the properties of the Yisomim, or part of a ksuva she collected. She collects half of it.
She sold. She didn't. See? The reason she sold because she didn't get from the Yorshim. That's why she's selling it. You should get some diyoshim. She wouldn't sell.
Right. So, but she sold some of the property to collect her ksuba. So she sold it in order to get money to get her ksuba. Or if she borrowed money, she needed money, so she had given her ksuba over as a place of collateral. Or she gives away her ksuba to somebody else. So if she wants to now sell property, she needs mizonos, she could only sell them in Beis Din. Okay. Now, according to the Chachamim, Omrim, Mocheres hi afilu arba v'chamisha pamim, she could sell 4 or 5 times. And v'kosevetz l'mezonos, sorry, u'mocheres l'mezonos shelo bebezdin. And she could sell her mezonos, not going to Bezdin. She doesn't have to go to Bezdin against Rabbi Shimon. V'kosevetz l'mezonos mecharti. And she could say, and she writes when she sells it, the selling of the property, I'm selling it for the purposes of mizonos. It's a etzet over. Yes, Shai's daf explains why that is relevant. And grusha lo timcha el bebezin. And another halacha is that a divorcee could only sell property for a ksuba in bezin itself. And that's like we saw above, that either Rashi explains either because of the shalot is baza isha bebezin, and here let her be disgraced, I don't care. Or according to Rabbi Shimon, even within Chayin, Rabbi Shimon thinks that an Erisin always has to, a Grusha rather, always has to sell. A Grusha has to sell in Bezin. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. So Gemara wants to know now, Masisin Mani, who authored the Mishnah, who authored the Tanakama? That again, if she sells or gives away some of her Ksuba, then if she wants to, she needs Mizonos now, she can only sell properties in Bezin. That must be Rabbi Shimon here. The Tani, the Brisa tells us, Macha Ksubasa, Mashkana Ksubasa, Azza Ksubasa, Putuki, Lacher in Lamazonas. If she sells her ksuba, or if she gives it over as a collateral, or she makes it a putiki. A putiki is where she owes money to somebody. She owes money to the bank and says, if I don't pay you back, I'm going to establish that this property is not putiki. It's a place where you're going to collect from if I don't pay you the money. So if any of those happen, the lach is she doesn't have any mazonos at all. She loses her mazonos entirely. Why does she lose her mazonos out entirely? Okay, I'm not sure. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afa Pishlo Machav Lomashkana, Ksuasa, Ela Machitisa, Ibda Mizinosa. So according to the Tanakhama here in this Brisa says, only if she gives the entire thing away. But Rabbi Shimon says, even if she gives part of it away, only Miksasa, that too she loses out on her Mizonos. Right, you see that Rashi makes that diak? Rashi says, Macha Ksuasa. Kula, if she sells the ksuba entirely, ein la mazonos divrei Rabbi Meir. But if she still has some of the, she still has some of the ksuba outstanding, then she is allowed to sell for mazonos. But Rabbi Shimon says the moment she gives away any amount of the ksuba, she sells off any amount of it, she loses it out from her mazonos unless she sells in Bezdin. So the Gemara says, "Lemeimer, is this to say? Is this to suggest that Rabbi Shimon savar delo amar miksas kasef kechol kasef?" Does Rabbi Shimon think that partial kesef is not like all kesef? Rabban Savri Amrino Mixes Kesef Kichal Kesef, but he thinks partial kesef is like all kesef? So the idea is whatever's left over, so let's say she has half the amount left. So according to Tanakhama, if you have half left, it's as if you have all of it left, so it's as if she never sold the property. And Rabbi Shimon holds the other way around. No, if you have, even though you might have half left, it's not as if you have all of it left, and therefore it's as if you lost the entire ksuva and cannot sell for mizonos anymore. So that's what the Gemara initially wanted to say, but the Gemara says that can't be the case, because ha'ipcha sheminale, we learned the opposite to be the case. Ha'ipcha sheminale, the Tanya, the Brisa tells us, v'hu asher b'besuleha. So what's this pasuk referring to here? There's a pasuk on the side. V'ikra chaf aleph. This is, he's talking about by a Kohen Gadol getting married, I believe, to a Basula, right? This past week's Parsha, Parsha Emor. Is that the case here? Let's double check this. Where's this Pasuk? Yeah, exactly, Kohen Gadol, right. Kohen Gadol, the Lach is a Kohen Gadol, has to marry a Basula. So the pasuk says, "Who are isha b'besula yikach?" He has to marry a besula. Probably bulgaris shekala besula el divrei Rabbi Meir. As opposed to someone who's older, who's above age, she already lost some of her besulim. She's no longer considered besula. That's according to Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon machshirin b'bulgaris. But they permit a bulgaris. As long as she's a besula, even though she's getting older, she's a besula, then she's permitted. So we see from there the opposite. Because Rabbi Meir says, we assume Bulgaris loses some of the mixas, she loses mixas basulum. So do we assume mixas basulum as if she loses all basulum or not? So Rabbi Meir here says, losing mixas basulum is as if you lost all the basulum. But here Rabbi Meir says, if you lose part of the ksuba, it's not as if you lost all of the ksuba. And Rabbi Shimon is on the other hand, he says, no, if you lost mixas basulum, it's not as if you lost all the basulum. But he says by here, if you lost mixas ksuba, it is as if you lost all the ksuba. So there is an inconsistency. And the Gemara says, no, hasam b'kray pligi, the case of Kohen Gadol is different. It's a machlok is about something unique, something specific to the psukim of Kohen Gadol. Again, hasam b'kray pligi, Rabbi Meir savar besula, afil mixas besulim. The word besulim means that even if she has a little bit of besulim left over, that's good enough. Besuleha, the extra letters besuleha, adika b'kula besulim. It means until you have all of them. Bibsula b'kedarka in shlo b'kedarka lo, and we also learn from the bibsula now extra base in the beginning only if it's kedarka, if it's via shlo kedarka, that does not disqualify her. So there's a special drasha that Rabbi Yehuda makes, but nothing to do about a general klal of mixas kekula at all. Yeah. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon has the opposite svara. They savri bibsula shlema of mashma implies everything's intact. Bibsula afilu mixas bibsula. And if there's a little bit left, also that's also considered a besula still. And the word bivsula, the extra base in the beginning, is sheyuhu kol besula kaimim bein mekadarka bein shlo kadarka. She has to have entirely be never have had bia, whether it's bia kadarka bia shlo kadarka. So it's a machlok is how to make drashas here, but in general mixas kichol is how it stands. The Rabbi Huda thinks, Rabbi Meir rather thinks, mixas ksuba is as if she still has the entire ksuba, and Rabbi Shimon thinks if she gave away mixas, it's as if she has nothing left over. Okay, I guess we'll stop here.